Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
We're brought to you today and every day by the law firm Kunduri and Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com and mention us to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We will be in the air with those guys on Saturday morning on our way to Minneapolis for a show trip. Should be very, very good. I think we're doing hotels instead of Airbnb this time. Because we were Airbnb.
We did that last time, yeah.
Kansas City in a house. Kind of cool. Everybody, we got pizza, hung out, watched Sunday Night Football.
I think maybe if there are a couple more guys coming, then that became probably too hard, right? Because Wasim couldn't come last time.
I mean, there's a twice as big a crew.
Yeah.
So we would need a big house.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like the
fine by me, but
where the Michigan Wolverines play.
That's right.
House. That'll be good because we're right downtown. We're a few blocks away from bunch of stuff, including the Odyssey headquarters down there, where I think we're going to be doing the show from. But should be a good trip. It sounds like it's going to be frigid.
Toad, as my kids used to say.
You've never been to Mall of America?
No.
How many times have you been to Minnesota?
Twice. Two times in Minneapolis.
And how long are we talking?
Weekends. Yeah.
How long ago?
One was for a wedding, probably like 8 years ago. Once before that, I don't remember why we were there.
Okay.
But I went, definitely went.
So I went to go to the All-Star festivities at Target Field. I definitely didn't make it to Mall of America on that trip because there was a lot of stuff going on. But I went the first and only time for football when Washington was playing the Vikings back during the Shanahan era. I think it would have been 2013. And Michael Phillips and I went to Mall of America and did all the skits and bits. Roller coaster, putt-putt, like all that stuff.
That's so wacky it's at a mall.
I mean, it's crazy how insanely big it is. I'd like to say we're going to get there. Maybe that'll be one of the activities
that could be
planned that we don't know about yet. But if not, I know Darius and I are trying to get over there to check it out. Maybe Danny will come with.
What's the plan when you go over there? Is it just like, wow, this mall is big. All right, let's go home? Or what are you doing?
Everything's there. I think, like any mall, you kind of be a mall rat. You walk around
Bit. Oh, there's a Foot Locker. There's a food court with the cheesesteak place.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like going to Tyson's, with all due respect to Tyson's. Again, there's like roller coasters. To me, we could go play putt-putt. It's like what I want to do there. And at their mall putt-putt.
Indoor putt-putt, I'd be steamed up to do that.
On a cold day, you got to be inside anyway, mm-hmm. right? Which NFL head coaches are in trouble? Let's get into that. So there have already been two firings this year. Generally, there's between 6 and 8 coaches getting replaced at the end of the season. So I want to have a category of, I'm very sure this guy's out. And then this guy might be out category. Like, we already know two dudes have been fired. The next category is these guys will soon join them. Put this in pen. And then the other ones put this in pencil, but I think they could get fired. So who else do you think's in the put it in pen, they're going to be fired category?
I've been pretty confident that Kevin Stefanski has to go. In Cleveland. They're yelling for it on the radio. He's 2-30 over his last couple of years.
If they're yelling for it on the radio, then it's got
to
happen.
But it's to the point where now it's like untenable. And if you're in charge there, you need someone to blame. that's a lever that I think is going to get pulled. But the counterpoint is, what does he have to work with? And the answer is not a whole lot.
They're 6-25 over the last two seasons.
Yeah.
6-25. I don't care how good of a coach you are. When you've won six times in your last 31, you're probably getting fired. There's not a great argument, by the way, against doing it when you're 6-21 in a results-oriented business. Now, he is a two-time coach of the year. He is only 43 years old, and he will be able to get a job again almost immediately. I would think the New York Giants would love to have Kevin Stefanski come work with Jackson Dart. I would, you know, any other team. Like, if Tom Brady wants to go offensive, the rumor was he did everything he could to get Ben Johnson to come to Vegas, and Johnson chose Chicago, where they already had made the quarterback pick, rather than, you know, going to a place where you didn't know when you were going to get your quarterback or how high you'd be picking. Well, if the Raiders blow out Pete Carroll one and done, and we'll get to him on one of these lists possibly, but does Tom Brady go, all right, I want a play caller, I want an offensive-minded guy I could talk shop with, and he goes and gets Kevin Stefanski? That would be possible. I don't know if you'd have interest in the Raiders job if you're Stefanski. What about the Tennessee Titans? They just hired Brian Callahan. The reason they moved on from, fired Brian Callahan, rather, but they hired him after moving on from Vrabel because they didn't want the defensive leader of men. They thought that wasn't the way to go in the league. They wanted to go offensive-minded, and they got worse. If they called, does Stefanski answer that call? Would you want to be a play caller for a year and somewhere like in Philadelphia where you know you're going to go to a Super Bowl or be close and maybe you just rehab your image and wait for a better job?
I'd be a little scarred from my most recent experience to try to be the guy that turns around the oil tanker in a chaotic situation. I might hold off on a Raiders / Titans job for a season or two. I mean, knowing that I'm still in my early 40s if I'm Stefanski.
So you're going Kevin Stefanski will get fired. You're putting that in pen.
I'll put it in pen.
I'm also putting that one in pen at this point, 6-25. I just think even though he's going to get a job immediately, there's a lot of good coaches that are going to get other jobs where you wear out your welcome or it's time for a fresh voice in an organization, and that's where we are in Cleveland, I think. All right, anybody else you're using a pen to write down is not going to be with their team next year?
Jonathan Gannon, ? They've gotten worse pretty much every year, it seems like. That's not true. They were 4-13, 8-9, and now falling back off at 3-9 this year as everyone else has gotten better. I know it's probably not all his fault. Kyler Murray hasn't done much this year, has been hurt, and then they got that soft benching situation going on, but it doesn't seem to be trending in the right direction. It may just be time after 3 years.
He is the next guy on my list as well. Jonathan Gannon, to me, is definitely not going to be the Cardinals head coach next year. He's also young, 42. He might get another shot somewhere. Probably more than Stefanski would have to go rehab his image as a coordinator and build some trust back up within an organization where they win a bunch, a la what he did in Philadelphia. But he inherited a bad Cardinals team, 4-13. I thought last year they really looked like they'd made strides, and you go, geez, they're 8-9.
They're tough, yeah.
Good offseason. Kyler plays well. Maybe they win 10 games, 11 games, make the playoffs, and it's gone the other way, 3-9 now. So he's 15-31. That's a 3.26 winning percentage. That's in the bottom 25% of, like, coaches all time that qualify if he had enough games. So there's just not enough results. I mean, you have that one, like, the really good year where we're, like, encouraged and thinking maybe he's pretty good at this was a sub-500 season. That speaks to how bad it's been.
Mm-hmm.
He also has had some weird things. I don't remember the specifics, but when he got hired, they had a, like, tampering thing right away. Based on conversations, press conferences that he'd had where they had to be penalized for that. And then remember, he got fined a bunch of money for that sideline thing with his running back this year where he like hit him in the chest or whatever that was. That's one of those, if we're considering making the move, but we're not sure, oh, we fine you $100,000.
Yeah, if you're 9-3, it's like, hey, that was a great moment for us. You know, it really helped us find out who we are.
Right.
At 3-9, it's like, can you believe you did that?
So let's put pen on Gannon. That means there's four openings. I've got pen on one more guy that I want to know if you would break out a pen on.
So there are two guys I've got in mind here, and I don't know if I feel pen worthy.
So my only other guy in this category of I absolutely think this guy's going to get fired is Raheem Morris.
Raheem Morris is one of my two.
With the Atlanta Falcons. Raheem Morris is one of the most likable dudes in the NFL. Sean McVay, who I don't hear from, like if I'm communicating with Sean McVay these days, it's because I'm reaching out. Sean McVay, when like Raheem Morris was interviewing for the Commanders job, is hitting me up to tell me like, dude, I'm telling you, this guy's the best coach in the league that doesn't have a job, like trying to put him over. Everybody loves him. Kyle loves him. McVay loves him. Like he's got these coaches all over the league that everyone thinks is very, very smart who all say, he could be a great head coach. In his career, he is 33-55 as a head coach.
The results just simply haven't been there. He has one good year, I would say, as a defensive coordinator. One, where you go, that was pretty impressive. Other than that, it's
defensive
been,
coordinator?
Yeah, when he was the defensive coordinator for the Rams.
I think he's probably been good more than 1 year as a defensive coordinator, but as a head coach, 10-6 is his only winning season. 33-55, we'll come back to the DC thing in a second. But here's my problem. How many times when you watch the Falcons do you go, what in the hell is Raheem Morris doing with the clock? It's constant. Both times they've played Washington, Danny, the last 2 years, it's been one of our biggest talking points the day after those games. Remember how weird the end of the game situation last year?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like for a guy that has 6 years, I mean, we're talking about 88 head coaching games, he still has these issues, and they've just gone in the wrong direction. Now, maybe if you're sitting down with ownership and they're debating your fate, you could go, listen, man, Terry Fontenot paid Kirk Cousins $100 million, then drafted Michael Penix. We had a weird quarterback situation. He has subsequently missed on a bunch of first-round picks. We don't even have a first-round pick this coming year, despite being one of the 10 worst teams in the NFL, and despite all the assets we've used at quarterback because of the Penix injury, and Cousins is $100 million, so they got to get out of that contract. They have to bring in another quarterback to start the beginning of next year because Penix tore his ACL. Like, there's no GM that has more things to answer for right now than Fontenot. Maybe he would say, I actually could do this with a good GM, and I just haven't had a chance to. That could be the argument.
Entirely fair. Yeah, I mean, Morris is one of those dudes that he's in the cool guys club, again, despite very mediocre at best results, and that's being kind. The other guy, though, I want to bounce off before we come back to Morris is Mike McDaniel. Just doesn't seem to be a good operation in Miami. Again, I don't know how much is his fault specifically. I don't think all of it is, but some of it probably is. Where you may have needed a different voice there. I mean, when it's fun and cute, when he's quirky and off the wall, and we're zany and we're running plays that nobody's seen. Now it seems like everybody's kind of caught up. Hill's over the hill. A terrible pun by me, but they're not quite the same offense anymore. And he can't dig him out of it. Like, he doesn't have another gear like a Vrabel or like a Mike McDonald or something else. It's just like, hey, man, I'm zany and quirky. And it's like it's wearing thin down there.
So this is why I'm using these categories, right? Because the pencil category that we're about to get into, which is where I have Mike McDaniel, still means this guy gets fired. But I'm way less confident about it. So, like, I think Raheem Morris will get fired by the Falcons. I think Jonathan Gannon will get fired by the Cardinals, right? I think Kevin Stefanski gets fired by the Browns. And you put that in pen because you're sold on it. The next category for me of, like, I could see that is Mike McDaniel. And I had him in the pen category until 2 weeks ago.
And they've won three straight.
They have won three games in a row.
Yeah.
They've won four of their last five. What if they finish okay? You know, what if they beat the Jets, who they should beat this weekend?
You know what the record would be if they beat the Jets?
They'd be 6-7. And the Hill pun was the one you wanted back?
No, I let you walk right into it. I mean, you just 6-7 yourself.
Okay.
Right?
The Steelers, after that, is a winnable football game, could get you to 7-7.
All their games left are
Bengals,
winnable-ish.
Bucks, Patriots. I mean, I could see them going 8-9. Maybe
easily
7-10.
Yeah.
And if that happens, that means they will have had an over 500 record from November 9th on. I don't think that gets you fired. Not to mention, I think that most of the faults with McDaniel or the reasons you'd want to fire him are not really the results. What I mean by that is his record's actually pretty good. I don't think Tua's good. I think Tua has played well at times. He put up some huge numbers, some good seasons under McDaniel, because I think that offense has been great. But he's above 500. In 3+ years as the head coach in Miami. 33-30 right now. Is that not a pretty impressive thing? Like, going to Miami with Tua as your quarterback and look at what's happened for them with injuries and stuff this year, and to be above 500 after 4 years? I don't think that means you're clueless. So
no, it's a decent accomplishment. My counter to your counter is that it isn't trending in that direction, in the good direction. Like, if they would won 4 games, then 7 games, then 10, and now they're on to 12, it's going the opposite way. They were over 500. They were 11-6 2 years ago. Mediocre last year, worse this year. So even if they do finish stronger, sure, it's a feather in his cap. But offensively, his calling card, and you're 100% right, by the way, about Tua, but bear with me. They were the number one offense in yards, number two in points a couple of years ago. they're now in the mid-20s
right.
in that regard. They have fallen off a cliff there.
I think most of their offense was built around the idea of Tyreek Hill.
I think so, too.
Not having him changes the game, so you got to get a new Tyreek Hill this offseason. But look, if they fired him, I would say, yeah, I totally get that. To your point, it gets worse each of the last couple of seasons. But that one's in pencil for me. That's why I don't have him in the pen category. Unlike those other teams, they're actually showing signs of life and improving as this year's gone on.
They are. It's hard to argue that. Again, they won three straight. The big one is the winner for Buffalo in that group of three.
Who else is in the pencil category of, I get that? A name that keeps popping up is Pete Carroll being one and done with the Raiders. I don't see it. I don't think Tom Brady has the heart to pull that one off. Like, hey, I hired you last year. Now I'm firing you. But this is what we keep talking about with Pete Carroll. The entire reason you go get him, he's the oldest head coach in the NFL at 74 years old, was to make sure that this year didn't happen. Even when things were bad in Seattle, at their worst, it was 9-8 a couple years in a row. It was 7-10. You were always going to win 8 or 9 games. That was the whole point of Pete Carroll. So you go, okay, let's not bottom out. Let's not have a terrible year. Let's not be 2-10 in a disaster. And that's what they are. They're 2-10. They're one of the worst teams in the league. The Geno thing backfired. The Carroll thing backfired. If they're smart, they'll just detonate and start over and realize this is a bridge to nowhere. I just think that while they should do that, because teams all the time fire guys after 1 year, they might give Pete Carroll the career reverence that they feel like he deserves to have another shot at this thing. I just don't see Tom Brady ending this after one season, even though he should.
Yeah, that's my instinct. I'm leaning that way that he doesn't get fired. That's a pencil one for me. The other pencil one I've got is Zach Taylor in Cincinnati. Now, if Burrow comes back and they're all of a sudden frisky almost to the playoffs, maybe, but it just feels like everything he's tried, they've made a big production about trying something different, and they're still, you know, not particularly good, especially on one side of the ball. His defensive coordinators, he's in charge of all that. Again, not all his fault. Joe Burrow gets hurt. You're obviously worse than you were before he gets hurt. But still, it's another year of this. This was a group that was in the Super Bowl not that long ago, not trending in the right direction. That's a name I've got in pencil.
Zach Taylor, I had in pencil. I've moved him off of the list of guys that I think lose their jobs now, but I definitely see that. I don't have Aaron Glenn listed here either. A lot of people think he could be one and done with the Jets. It's been a bit of a nightmare. They did win this past week to get to 3-9. I think he gets another season. I think he deserves another season, but it has been unimpressive to say the least.
So I posited a couple weeks ago that I thought he might be a candidate to not have his gig. My only reasoning, and this is a small, unfair sample, you're losing. Everyone gets you. You inherited the Jets, man. You went to the Jets. It's an uphill climb in a headwind, walking in molasses. Everyone understands that's a hard one. When he started doing that, I don't know, ask the reporter weirdness,
yeah.
When he started getting super adversarial and mad at people for pointing out the bad thing.
You mean when he wasn't acting like an NFL head coach?
That all of a sudden, that my flag went up on that one. I went, wait a minute. Everyone's going to give you some grace. I mean, the dumb New York media might not. The guy's a bum. Who knows if you are or not. But human beings that are reasonable can go, yeah, that's a tough situation with no quarterback and a disastrous roster and a culture of losing and a terrible owner. We can relate to that. When you start doing that game, I kind of go, wait a minute, maybe you're not supposed to be the head guy.
I'm going to throw two more names at you that are really, really intriguing. And that is the two longest tenured head coaches in the NFL. Mike Tomlin with the Steelers, who's been there since 07, and John Harbaugh with the Ravens, who's been there since 08. I don't think Harbaugh gets fired. I think he'll be back. But it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world to me if, like, we find out that they're mutually parting ways or something at the end of the year. Not that he's not a good coach. Again, he's a guy I would put in the category of he's going to get another opportunity. He's good at this. But 288 games in Baltimore. It's been a long, long time. And the other one is Tomlin. It's been even longer. And I made this case yesterday. Pittsburgh this offseason between betting on Rodgers, swapping out Pickens for Metcalf, paying TJ Watt, who's slowing down, and a bunch of other decisions, just had a nightmare of a year, and the thing's gone stale. Tomlin is a really, really good coach. He will get another job. I just think that it's run its course with the Steelers, and he needs to probably reboot somewhere else and try to modernize himself a little bit and maybe go somewhere, frankly, where they have a quarterback. Like Tomlin with the Giants and Jackson Dart, I don't think I would hire him if I was the Giants. I'd try to go offensive-minded, but that would be a really cool landing spot for him, potentially.
It would indeed. I mean, and this particular Steelers team, just kind of to your point to illustrate it, doesn't look like the other Steelers teams that go 9-8. In other words, you knew what you were in for. It's a bad offense. It's a 1980s situation. It's a rock fight, but they're going to be disciplined, play great defense, win with a special teams play. This group for half the season, you're like, do you even know your assignment? Who are you covering? What are you doing for a defense that's aging and look confused and disorganized? That's not a Steelers Tomlin program. So maybe lost his fastball in that regard. I think a reboot for him would be great. It just, I don't know if that's in the Steelers' identity, to be honest with you. And I will tell you this as a quick side. I know a handful of Ravens fans, just a weird informal sample, all are done with Harbaugh. They would actually like him to be gone, which I think is fascinating given all the success.
Yeah, I mean, fans, short for fanatical, like that's crazy to me. But I think anytime somebody is in a place a long time and you haven't won in a championship in a while, especially when you've been floating around and kicking at the door, fans get upset. I would be curious to know like how that front office feels about if the coaching is worse than it was at any point. But this has been a really bad season for them, obviously. All right, we'll talk to Shil Kapadia next of The Ringer. Excited to see what he thinks about Thursday night football tonight. Whether the Lions or Cowboys lose probably reshapes the playoff picture in a big, big way in the NFC. We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Grant and Danny on The Fan, it's Thursday, and we've got a quality Thursday night football matchup tonight in Detroit, where the Cowboys are 3.5-point road dogs taking on the Detroit Lions. Feels odd to me because it's not very often that I expect a 3.5-point underdog to win a game, but I think Dallas is going to beat Detroit tonight. Let's get to the bottom of this matchup and look ahead to Week 14 with Shil Kapadia of The Ringer. Shil, thank you for jumping on the Rude Guest Hotline with us. It's great to have you back on the show. How are you?
Doing well, guys. How you doing?
Great, buddy.
Doing great. Am I crazy? I like Dallas tonight, even though they are 3.5-point dogs. How do you see this one going?
No, I don't think you're crazy. I like that side as well. I feel like that Cowboys offense, I mean, with those two receivers and the way Dak Prescott's playing, so far this season. I just feel like they're a tough matchup for really any defense. And then, you know, you look at the other side of the ball and the Cowboys defense was playing terribly, but they make the moves at the deadline. And I just feel like it's a massive game for the Dan Campbell era. You know, he was, they had their two shots. They got to the playoffs. They made a run. And now if they lose this game, they might have a hard time, or they will have a hard time even making the playoffs. So yeah, it's a fun one. Backs against the wall really for both these teams.
I feel like Dallas actually has a pretty good chance to make the postseason. I don't know if that's, it's not certainly not wishful thinking because I'd like them to lose every game forever, but just in general, I feel like they're in a pretty decent spot. If they win tonight, I could absolutely see them at 10 wins and that tie might come in handy for them. Give me your thoughts there. It's kind of a general temperature check.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, it's tough. You got to jump some teams. You got the Niners. You got the three NFC North teams. And so just in terms of that wild card spot, there are some teams that it's going to be difficult to jump. But I absolutely believe they have an opportunity. I mean, I think their offense is just playing at a top five level right now. And when you're playing that well offensively, you have a chance in almost every game. So they're just a different team right now than they were the first month of the season. So the margin of error is slim for them. I don't know if they have to win out or maybe win all but one game here. But yeah, I do think they have a chance to kind of sneak in there and maybe be a dangerous team in the NFC playoffs.
Shill, I've got two takes that are diametrically opposed, and I believe both to be true, and I just want to get your reaction, which is you can't give George Pickens $30-plus million a year. That will blow up in your face. And also, I think the Cowboys have to pay George Pickens at the end of this year.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right about that. So there are a couple ways you can potentially do it. You know, one of them is, are there things you can work in the contract? What are you actually concerned about with George Pickens? You know, are there things you can work in there where, hey, if he doesn't do X, Y, and Z, now all of a sudden that guaranteed money isn't going to be the same? Would he go for that? Or would he say, no, thank you, I will just go hit the open market and take a contract that doesn't have those qualifications? Do you use the franchise tag on him, you know, where you say, hey, let's take this year by year. We will pay you for 2026, but we don't want to make a big commitment beyond that. And again, he might say, wait a minute, what are we talking about? The way I played last year, now you're making me play on the franchise tag. So I think it's a very tricky situation. Now, Jerry Jones has not been afraid in the past to take on those risks, really, for players that have done far worse than what anything George Pickens has done here. But yeah, I am with you. I do think it's a difficult decision negotiation for both sides there.
Pre-bye week, Dallas's defense, it felt like they were playing in the Big 12 in like the early 2000s, just giving up 40 a week, and it was a disgrace. All of a sudden, for the last month, kind of post-bye week, couple of trades, etc., even with that loss to Arizona, they've been even, dare I say, okay on that side of the ball. How real is that?
Yeah, they got guys healthy. You know, they got Overshown, the safety. He's back. And then Quinnen Williams has been the biggest addition. Now, listen, I didn't like that trade at the time, and I still think when we look at it 2 years from now, we go, man, first and a second, they gave up to the New York Jets. But there's no doubt he is an impactful defensive tackle and has made a huge difference both in the run game and as a pass rusher. You know, he wasn't having a huge impact with the Jets earlier this season, but sometimes it just comes down to environment and culture and how motivated a player is. So I don't think they're a great unit, but you don't need to be a great unit. You know, in the NFL, if you have a top five offense with kind of a mediocre, competent defense, that's going to win you a lot of games. And I think that's probably more where they land here.
Shill Kapadia of The Ringer with us here on Grant and Danny in DC. So Shill, let's talk about the other team in this matchup, and that's the hosts, the Detroit Lions. I've been saying throughout the day, I know mathematically they wouldn't be eliminated, but if they were to lose tonight, I do think that they are in a really bad spot. They'd be 7-6 with the Rams hosting them next week, staring down the barrel with all their injuries, maybe of 7-7. And then even if you went out, you would need some significant help. And that means you're beating Pittsburgh and a Vikings team that took them to the brink here recently. And the Bears in Chicago, out in the cold, where Jared Goff is not as good. Is this a got-to-have-it game for the Lions, or do you think that's overstated?
No, it is. I mean, you just look at the numbers, and I think, you know, if they lose this game, I think their chances to make the playoffs drop to under, I want to say, 20%, 15%. So it doesn't mean they can't do it, but all of a sudden, it's a really uphill climb. And so this is a team that had championship aspirations before the season. You know, I always like to do a thing where I say, all right, who are the teams that can actually win the Super Bowl, come up with six or eight there? And they were absolutely in that mix. But I think you saw some of the change with their offensive line. You saw losing Ben Johnson to the Chicago Bears. They got stung with injuries again on defense, which was a factor last year. And so some of those things haven't gone their way. So I do think this is a big sort of culture test in this spot where, you know, what are you made of here? Are you still able to fight through this with the injuries, with the things that haven't gone your way, and come back and still make the playoffs? Or is this one of those, hey, we're taking a step back years and we'll come back next year and hopefully contend there? I think the result of this game will go a long way in answering that question.
The Ringer Show, Kapadia with us here on Grant and Danny. Who's the best team in the NFC?
Oh, my gosh, the best team. It's a great question, one I change my mind on probably every single week. I think I would still go with the Los Angeles Rams right now if you made me pick one. You know, I think they are a team where their offense is reliable week in and week out with their quarterback and their coach and, of course, their wide receivers. So even if they have a game like last week where they turn the football over, those games can happen, but it's not like they got shut down. And so I just feel like against any defense in the NFL, I feel pretty confident that with McVay and Stafford, they're going to be able to figure some things out. Defensively, I have more questions specifically with their secondary, but I think, you know, all these teams have some kind of weakness. So I think I would still go with the Rams.
If you had an MVP vote, would you vote for Stafford or May right now?
I would vote for Drake May right now. You know, I think he has been, I think he's earned it. I think if you look at it, I know they haven't faced the hardest schedule. At the same time, he doesn't have Sean McVay and Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams. Like, I don't think that's a great situation in New England. The offensive line has been below average. You look at who he's throwing to, Stephon Diggs and Pop Douglas and Hunter Henry. I mean, this is not what anyone would consider a top five supporting cast in the NFL. So yeah, there's still some time to go here, but if I had to cast a vote right now, I would go with May over Stafford.
Does Philadelphia figure it out, or is this kind of like 2 years ago, 2023, when we're going, maybe their demise is exaggerated, then they just crashed and burned in Tampa in that playoff game where they got woodshedded? Do they figure it out and make a deep run, or is this like a couple years ago?
Yeah, it feels more like a couple years ago. Now it's a little different. That year, the defense really fell apart and the offense kind of gave you some hope that they could figure it out. This is sort of the opposite, where the offense here just looks like a complete disaster right now. It looks like they don't have answers. And so until they prove to me that, no, we can figure some things out offensively and we can have some tweaks and we can play well here, I'm going to assume that they don't have answers. And then they have the injury to defensive tackle Jalen Carter, which I know you guys just mentioned there during the update. I mean, that's one of their best defensive players, who now is going to miss multiple weeks, it looks like, with a shoulder injury. So that defense I still like. I think they're well coached, but they're not as talented as they were last year. They're not as healthy as they were last year. So I think they still make the playoffs, but I am not bullish on them getting to the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl.
Shil Kapadia has done such good work for many years on the NFL, followed him ESPN, The Athletic, and now with The Ringer joining us on Grant and Danny. I know recently you had done a piece and you guys had done a show on coaches on the hot seat. We were just talking along the same lines of like, who would we put in pen? Who would we put in pencil as far as who's getting fired? I wonder, though, what's your boldest, most out of the box or unpopular take as far as what is going to come down the pike on the coaching carousel?
Yeah, the thing I'm curious about, you know, we don't have enough coach traits in the NFL. You guys are with me. You have to do a radio show every day. You know, it'd be great to talk about.
Give us coach traits, man.
Yeah, give us some coach traits, at least some hypotheticals. We had the Sean Payton one, but I always look at that and it's a little bizarre to me, you know, that we don't have more, that you don't say, hey, I would give up a draft pick for this guy who could be my coach for the next 5 years so that I don't have to go out and just take a flyer on someone, take a chance on someone. So I actually look at this Ravens-Steelers game, and I look at two guys in Tomlin and Harbaugh that have been at their respective spots for a long time, have been great coaches, have both won Super Bowls, have won a lot of football games. But with Tomlin specifically, I look at it and I say, man, if they just struggle down the stretch here and they don't make the playoffs and they've got no answer at quarterback for 2026 and they don't have a great roster and they don't have a great defense, you know, everyone at some point in life, you say, hey, has what I'm doing right now, has it run its course? should I look for something else? And I just wonder. I'm not predicting it's going to happen. I'm not reporting it's going to happen. But just in my head, I'm saying, I wonder if he's saying, all right, you know, we've had a good run. Let's try something else. And would there be a team that would say, hey, Pittsburgh, we will give you a draft pick. Mike Tomlin, go have a great second act. And Pittsburgh, figure out how to rebuild that roster.
One of those bizarre hypotheticals that wouldn't make any sense, but bear with me. Imagine you have to risk the entire Kapadia fortune, like the entire inheritance and everything that goes with it, on who has to win the AFC South. You got to go to the betting window right now. Who wins the AFC South?
Oh, my gosh. I would probably go with the Houston Texans. It doesn't even feel right coming out of my mouth there. I know the betting odds would say that would not be the smart pick. They would tell you to go with the Colts or even the Jaguars. I can't go with the Jaguars. I think they're maybe the dumbest team in the NFL when you watch their games and just the way they play. So I'm not risking the billions in the Kapadia fortune on the Jacksonville Jaguars. But then the Colts are just in a bad spot right now where they're trending in the wrong direction. Daniel Jones has this injury. Sauce Gardner's out. They've got a tough remaining schedule. So I know it's not a lock with the Texans. I still have questions about their offensive line and their offense. But you know what? They have one thing they can hang their hat on, which is they are a top three defense in the NFL. And so I think that keeps them in a lot of games. And so I think I would go with Houston.
Shield, thank you for joining the show. Always great having you on. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
Check out work with The Ringer. Kind of him to give us a few minutes here on Grant and Danny. We will talk to Robert Mays of The Athletic to go around the NFL to get ready for Thursday Night Football coming up at 6 o'clock today on a Pigskin Heavy G&D. Remember, we are in Reston at Craft House for our Friday field trip coming up tomorrow from 2 to 6:30, so make note of that. Double Play is next. In 20 minutes, we're giving away Leonard Skinner tickets ahead of the Blitz on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Just after 3:45 on G&D, it is time for a double play, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. Danny, I know that you have made a urgent care appointment for after the show.
I did.
So that you could get your eye looked at to see if you have pink eye, to see if you can still go to Minnesota or not. I'm 97% sure you don't have pink eye, for the record.
Okay.
I don't know if that helps you or hurts
you. It actually
you.
Helps a little bit.
But
weirdly.
I wanted to tell you to cancel your appointment. You should cancel your appointment.
Oh.
I don't think anybody needs to look at your eye.
Oh.
Matt and Stafford texted me and said Danny's eye is just stress. So.
Oh.
You don't need to go to urgent care.
How does.
You don't need to get in any examination.
Is that
done.
Based on.
Dr. Matt in Stafford, who isn't a doctor, but does listen to the Grant and Danny radio program.
Which is like getting a doctor.
Said let Danny know that he thinks having. I don't know if he's even seen you on the YouTube page.
I don't
or
know
if
what
he
he's doing.
Heard you say that your eye was a little red.
Yeah.
He thinks it's just stress. So go ahead and cancel the appointment.
Oh, but with all due respect to Matt, and that is a data point. Like that's a. That is. That's one.
Matt in Stafford, MD.
Yeah. I think a second opinion by a different kind of medical doctor might be warranted. But, like, again, that's no disrespect to Matt and Matt's diagnosis from listening or watching. I'm not sure what he's doing. He's consuming, which we appreciate. And thank you, Matt.
Do you have a doctor that you normally go to?
I do one medical bit.
So you, what I'm wondering is, yeah. Is it when you go to the doctor, do you just go to urgent care?
Depends. On something like this, where it's like, every doctor's office sure. Everywhere is closed, but they're open, so
here's
I go to the
what
open
I have
one.
Found.
Yeah.
I have found, I don't know how this works or what's what. I think generally our insurance stinks is pretty much what I can tell, but yeah. I think most people feel that way about their insurance.
I think that's
insurance.
What everyone thinks, yeah.
But that said, when I go to urgent care, I feel like it's always so expensive.
Well, I'm sure of that.
As opposed to a doctor.
Well, you know, the yes to that, but the second part of it is what drives me ham is, all right, I paid you, right? I get it. It costs $31 or $48 or $70, totally fine. Months will go by. Months.
And then the new bill?
Hey, you have a balance. Hey, there's the balance. Oh, that, whatever that is. I was like, I'm happy to pay you. I understand. I'm taking people's time. I'm coming for your expertise. You've done something for me. You're helping me when I need it. I'm paying for the flexibility. I'm willing to pay. It's the months later part that drives me up the wall.
Yeah, and also the how's it this much part? That bothers me.
Which I get.
A little bit.
Which
too.
I think is fair, yeah.
It's like, wait, I went to urgent care and sat there. They looked at me for 9 minutes. They gave me my blood pressure and a couple things and told with a packet of paper.
Stick your
said,
tongue out. Yeah.
Go get this medicine or whatever. And then they charged me $626.
How like, did that happen?
For the blood test? Like, what blood test did we do? How do we do?
I didn't even remember taking one.
Ooh, one of the guys from, this is pretty good. And Dorian Murat, I guess they are related to, without getting into too many details,
okay,
a eye surgeon.
Oh.
And they said, send a picture of your eye.
I don't think I need surgery, though.
No, but maybe.
He's seen some eyes.
If this person knows about eyes, maybe they would know if you have pink eye or not.
Okay.
Or maybe they're like, oh, that's just an irritated eye.
Okay.
The fact that you are telling me, as not a doctor, right? A doctor.
Right.
You telling me that both eyes have been bothering you a little bit tells me you don't have pink eye, even though it looks like you have pink eye in your left eye.
Which I don't think that's a very good conclusion by you.
I think you'd be surprised.
Okay.
I think you're not going to have pink eye, and it's going to be solely because of what I'm saying.
I'm also betting I don't have it either, right. By the way. But
based on my analyses.
Again, that's the we may end up in the same place.
Right.
But I don't know that you're.
Yeah.
The times that I've had it over my life, it's been in both.
It would be a really bad time for you to get pink eye.
I don't think there's a good time. This would be especially bad.
So here's what you've got coming up in short order.
Yeah.
Looking at the Danny Ruye calendar that I have in front of me.
Right. We share a calendar.
You guys don't know this, but Danny and I share a calendar.
We just figured it would be easier.
It's what we do. It
helps us make plans.
As work husband and work wife.
Right.
So Danny, so tomorrow you've got the live show.
Yes.
Which we're doing oot and a boot.
Oot and a boot.
That is in Reston at Kraft House.
Mm-hmm.
I've got you down tomorrow night for a George Washington University Hall of Fame event where you're emceeing ceremony.
Yes, I'm helping with the inductions of this year's class.
I've got that down for tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And then Saturday I've got you down as flying to Minneapolis on an airplane.
Yeah.
You shouldn't get on an airplane with pink eye. I've also found that via AI.
I think that's a pretty reasonable conclusion.
You think the Lions have a lot on the line tonight? There is a lot riding on this, a doctor's appointment at 7:10.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty heavy one. It's a big one.
What if you just slip the doctor $10 to tell you you don't have pink eye?
I don't know that that's what we want to do there, because then everyone gets pink eye.
Nah, it's bad.
It's like the whole law firm, and then family members do. And it's who's patient zero? It's the guy with pink eye.
Everyone's well. If you have pink eye, I'm not going to be upset at you. I'm going to be Rick in general at the world.
Yeah.
That I've sat 4 feet away from you all day long while you had pink eye. Not your fault at all.
What? Right.
And like
ish. Yeah.
No. There's a lot of people in this building that shame people who come to work. When they're not at 100%, I'm not one of those people. I believe in going to work and working, and everyone else can kind of get in where they fit in. And the job is the job. The show must go on. This is show business.
Yeah,
we are. This is a Broadway show where we're performing every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can speak, I respect the person that gets to work. So I'm not upset at you. Doesn't mean you can't be upset at the situation.
Right. And there's a distinction there.
I don't do this tit for tat, who's patient zero thing.
I see.
A lot of people like to do that. I'm not a believer.
You're not one of those guys.
No, I'm not. I believe in not shaming the person who was trying to do the thing they're supposed to do. But if you have pink eye, now I got anxiety.
Yeah.
Now I'm nervous.
Right.
Now I'm kind of like, I don't want to get pink eye before I go to Minnesota.
Well, I think you can blame the guy who like knowingly has it. Like if I went this morning and it's like, hey, I got it, and I'm like shooting conjunctivitis out of my eyes, that's an irresponsible move.
But nobody's showing up here knowing they have pink
eye. Right. I showed up to work and you're like, dude, what is wrong with your eye, psycho? And I was like, I don't know, it seems fine. And then I went to the bathroom and was like, oh my God, it's so red.
You're like, I have conjunctivitis.
I have red, but it's only one eye. And Grant thinks because both my eyes are irritated, maybe I don't have it.
Right, so you're fine.
Scientific.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think everything's going to work out, guys.
I hope so.
You're going to be able to MC the event tomorrow.
I hope so.
You're going to be on that plane. What if Danny went to Minnesota and everyone got off the plane already having pink eye?
Like, it acted that fast.
Well, because
the air current thing. Yeah.
And it's just like before, everyone just has one pink eye and they're itching their eye. Like every single person on the plane. It's like, oh my God, you did have pink eye. Matt and Stafford was wrong. You should have kept your appointment.
You should have kept it.
The Beltway Blitz is next. There's a passenger sitting in 13F. Try not to rub eyes with him. If you could avoid that, please.
We think he touched nearly everything. So if you could just get some hand sanitizer and rub it all over your face.
What they say about fecal matter causing pink eye isn't always the reason. So don't blame him for that. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Leonard Skinner tickets as soon as we return.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.